Dear listeners, Sai Ram. Welcome back to our weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, where we bring you conversations with former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. Our guest today is extraordinary in many ways. Although born with a serious disability, namely visual impairment, she learned early in life to have faith in herself and her radiant guide, Bhagwan Baba. Miss S. Ramadevi is not only a graduate of the Sri Satyasai College for Women at Anantapur, but also serves the institution as a tutor. Her story is one of unflinching faith in herself and God, determination to overcome barriers, and the wisdom to find peace and joy in everyday miracles. This conversation is in two parts, and we now bring you part one. Part two of this conversation will be aired same day, same time next week. So over now to Miss Ramadevi in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, we often chant the prayer Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya to seek a transition from darkness to light. Our guest today personifies that journey of moving from external darkness to inner light. Her life is a story of extraordinary courage and unshakable faith that if you let the Lord guide your path, you don't necessarily need all five senses to make sense of life. Miss S. Ramadevi is an alumna of Bhagwan Baba's Anantapur College, where she now serves as a resident tutor in the Sri Satyasai Women's Hostel. Miss Ramadevi was born in Bellary, Karnataka in 1951. She was born visually challenged and she came into the Sai fold early in life, a blessing that has enabled her to lead a nearly normal life with confidence and joy. Popularly known as Rama Akka among her juniors like myself, in 1972, she enrolled in the bachelor's program at what was then known as the Sri Satyasai Arts and Science College for Women at Anantapur. Purely due to Bhagwan Baba's encouragement and grace, she went on to earn her master's degree in English from the nearby SK University in Anantapur. Thanks to her proficiency in Braille, typing, and her fondness for radio, Rama Akka is a well-informed, self-aware, independent person who has been tutoring batches of students in English at the Anantapur Hostel for decades now. She recently authored and presented her book, Sai, My Radiant Guide, at the Sacred Mahasamadhi of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba. This event took place on 14th of January 2012. Sai Ram Rama Akka and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna and Sai Ram to all the listeners of Radio Sai.
The joy of your birth, understandably, was tempered with deep sadness for your family. How did they take it?
They were very much upset, and it seems my grandfather did not eat for 3 days. There was so much sorrow in the family for some days. Then all of them recovered from it and they thought, okay, let us accept the fact and take care of the child. So I grew up and I started speaking very early, started walking early, everything I did very nicely. They were enjoying the way I grew up.
I see. So your other areas of development were very heightened and advanced. But what was it like to grow up with the visual impairment as a child?
In the beginning, of course, I did not know that I was visually impaired, but slowly I came to know.
How did that realization dawn? Is it because people described things that you couldn't see?
Yes, people began to describe things that I couldn't see. They used to help me to walk, take me from place to place, and they would talk of colors, which I don't know at all. So all these things made me aware of the fact that I cannot see.
Well, seeing your high level of awareness about yourself as well as the world around you, the question becomes, who were your early role models and influences? What conversations surrounded you while you were growing up?
Actually, everybody treated me as normally as they could. I grew up in a very loving family. Everybody took care of me.
And it was an extended, large extended family, I understand?
Yes, yes. Actually, for a long time, that is, till the end of my childhood, I did not know what a family meant. I thought a family means grandparents and uncles and aunts and mother and father and sisters, brothers, cousins, all put together is one family. I did not know what a small family.
The nuclear family concept was alien to you.
Exactly. That concept only was alien to me.
And it was this entire extended family that influenced you?
Yes, yes. Particularly, my grand uncle, he took a lot of interest in me from my infancy. He discovered when I was about 3 or 4 years that I could learn things very easily. I could grasp things. So he was very much encouraged and started teaching me all the slokas and poems in Sanskrit and Telugu.
Including the Mahabharata, I
understand. Yes, yes. The Mahabharata, Bhagavata by Potana. All these epics he used to read to me and explain to me. That is the way my informal education began. I still remember once asking him, why is it that you tell stories in the night to the children? I also was part of that group. But then during daytime, why do you read out to me all these poems and explain? Why don't you tell me stories? Then he says, no, this is study. You should study in the daytime. The night I will tell you stories. So it was like a school. He used to make me sit and then teach me. I used to enjoy also learning. And in the evenings, we used to discuss the various episodes, especially in the Mahabharata. It's a very big epic. So there are very interesting episodes in that. And my grand uncle used to discuss with me.
Sounds like a very stimulating environment.
It was.
Great learning happened there.
Yes. Everything used to touch upon. History, geography, mathematics. He tried to teach me how to write numbers also.
I see. What techniques did he employ to teach you?
You know, he used to make me touch everything. And he used to show me how things are. I still remember once, we were going for a walk. And he said, Rama, have you ever touched a police hat? I said, no. Then, hey you, he called my policeman. There is an outpost near our house. So he came, see, I want this child to touch your hat. So he bent down and said, okay, this is the hat. It's a little different from the other hats. And everything he used to show me like that.
Wonderful. You're very fortunate that you were exposed to so much of experiential learning. What about your formal education? After homeschooling in the earlier years, I understand you were moved to Chennai, which was away from your home.
Yes, yes. It's a turning point in my life. And it was a new world. I did not know the languages. I did not know English. I did not know Tamil.
You only spoke Telugu, which is your mother tongue.
Yes, that's all.
But when you went to Little Flower School in Chennai, the medium of instruction was English?
Yes, it was English. And second language was Tamil.
Oh, wow.
So everything new to me, I felt lost in the beginning.
How did you cope?
What to do? I learned quickly and then they were also very helpful. There were some Telugu children. They entrusted me to one Telugu girl and they said, you take care and teach her everything.
So this was a school for visually impaired children?
Yes, exactly.
So they must have used specific techniques to teach you because you're so good at typewriting, braille reading.
Yes, yes. They taught me braille. Reading and writing was done through that braille system. And mathematics, that is arithmetic and algebra, they used a slate full of holes.
Something like an abacus, but that has beads though.
It's a big rectangular slate. And in that, we have to insert some types, 1.5 inches long. They told me that they are like the types in a printing press.
Okay.
I don't know, I have never gone to a printing press, but they told me. You have to insert them according to the angles. Straight angle or corner, you turn there 8. And then 9, you turn the whole thing upside down and put it again. It becomes 9, 0, multiplication sign, division sign, like that. A minus. So I have to learn like that. Put 1 and then 0, that is 10. 10 plus down 7 and that becomes 17, like that. And even algebra, A, B, C, X, Y, Z. There are some other types of types which indicate letters. So like that I learned.
Growing up in your early childhood, did you have moments of self-doubt? Did you question, why am I different from others?
Yes, I did. I suddenly felt, am I really different or am I like other children?
Or maybe others are different.
Yeah, exactly. Something
because
is different.
Because the way you've gone about your life, Ramaka, you almost make it seem like you're the new normal.
Yes, that's what. But then I sat and thought for some time. Very deep thinking I did. I finally came to conclusion. No, I'm not different. I am normal. I still remember I used the English word normal. Nenu normal gane unnanu. Nothing is wrong with me, I thought.
Fantastic self-affirmation. And during this time growing up, you did have flashes of self-inquiry.
Yes, yes. Because my grandfather taught me these poems or devotional poems. So I used to have that love for God and I wanted to know God. I asked one day, what is manasu? What is mind? Then my grandfather told me, manasu is something inside you. You cannot see, you cannot touch it, you cannot do anything. But you feel it or something, he tried to explain to me. Mm-hmm. So I slowly tried to understand these things.
Let me quote a passage from your book, Sai, My Radiant Guide.
Yes.
You said you could think of two instances which revealed in me a deep yearning for God. In a moral science class, and I'm assuming this was at the Little Flower School in Chennai, I understand, and I quote you, I asked my teacher, doesn't God speak to anyone in the present times or perform miracles? Mother Mary appeared to Bernadette at Lourdes in France in the 19th century and then to three children at Fatima in Portugal in 1917. But that was long ago. So what was your teacher's reply?
She said, even today God speaks, but he speaks to people who are receptive, people who have pure hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, but miracles also take place nowadays. And she said in 1939, in the midst of snow mm-hmm. in Belgium,
that's right.
Mother Mary's statue appeared. And then they built a church there. Then I thought, okay, that is only 25 years ago.
So you were satisfied.
Yeah, okay, that means it is in the near present. So maybe God will talk to some people. I never expected that he will talk to me. It doesn't matter, at least I am in that era. But I never knew that I am going to come to God and all this is going to be real. It's going to become reality.
Mm-hmm. And before we come to that chapter on the turning point where Sathya Sai Baba entered your life.
Yes.
After your elementary education at the Little Flower School, you went on to St. Raphael's Girls High School.
Yes.
It was an integrated program because you were studying with sighted children.
Exactly.
Was it hard to adjust?
Not very hard. Because there also, the children used to help me, the students used to help me. The teachers were very cooperative.
I see.
Mathematics teacher was very cooperative and she was very kind and compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in my 9th standard, there was a teacher who did not know how to teach us. She used to write everything on the board. We did not understand. 4 of us were there in that class. Miss, what does this mean? How does it go? How to calculate? She didn't know how to tell me. But in the next year, another teacher came and she was giving courage in the 9th standard also. Don't worry, girls. I am coming next year. I will teach you everything. So for the next 2 years, we had no problem at all. She brought some models. She had some methods to teach us very nicely.
Fantastic. Makes you realize what a difference a good teacher can make in a student's life.
Yes, yes.
And by the time you finished your high school, which was known as SSLC in
yes.
those days in Chennai in 70-71, you could have continued at Queen Mary's College, Chennai.
Yes.
But you did not opt for that.
No.
What was the reason?
Because I felt I did not belong there.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling homesick. That is, I wanted to go to Andhra Pradesh. I wanted to
have some spicy food.
Ah, no, not really that. Especially the people. I want to think like them, you know, because there was something different.
I see. So you wanted them, to be in a familiar environment.
Yeah, in a familiar environment. Festivals and the way of talking about our festivals and our culture. The way we behave, the way we think, the way we pray also is different. I wanted to be somewhere near home. So I told my parents this. They said, all right, we will put you in Hyderabad. I said, all right. Because Hyderabad, there were so many relatives.
So close enough.
Yeah, that was close. So I joined in Hyderabad, stayed there for 3 months. It was a little difficult for me there. Because the hostel was little away from the college. And the college began at 12, it's a second shift, intermediate.
Uh-huh.
So afternoon 12 o'clock, you know, sun beating down. We used to walk from our hostel, that is a working women's hostel. At that time, that Andhra Mahila Sabha did not have a hostel of their own. So we had to stay in a working women's hostel and walk to the college. That was a little difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's alright, because once I take up something, I did not mind going through the struggles. And Telugu was new, because my second language was Tamil in school. Telugu, I had read some books, because Telugu is familiar to Hindi letters. In Indian languages, the letters are according to phonetic sounds, not like ABC.
That's right.
Anything, you can pronounce it and write the same way.
Yeah.
So, I, E are the same in almost all the languages, with a little difference. And I had learned Hindi in Little Flower School for the Blind. For 1 year only I learned. So I know the alphabets. After that, that program had to be stopped because there was some language problem, Hindi agitation or something at that time, which is the national language. In Tamil Nadu, they did not accept it at that time.
That's true. There was a big political movement, a storm against Hindi. Some nationalistic sentiment.
Yeah, nationalistic sentiment was there. So we had to stop that program. But anyway, I knew the alphabets. And so I could write in Telugu also. So I used to write notes in Telugu. The girls used to explain. Telugu teacher also was very cooperative. And I know one lady here, one teacher. Now she is Mrs. Seshamma. She was the granddaughter of a very great poet, Nanduri Subbarao.
Mm-hmm.
She was zoology teacher. I did not understand this Chandas. See, in Chandas we have Yamata Rajabhanasa. It's a circle, they say. And three syllables we have to take and determine the Chandas.
Mm-hmm.
I did not understand what they are talking about. My classmates could not explain to me. This was an intermediate. So that teacher, she was just my neighbor in the hostel. So I asked, Madam, please explain to me how to understand this. She was very proficient in Telugu also, being the granddaughter of a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Simple way she explained. I understood. So then things became easy and I learnt Telugu grammar. So anyway, I have some foundation in Telugu because of my grandfather. So it was not so difficult for me.
I see, but I understand despite finding your bearings with the language and a different place, you were still not at home in Hyderabad either.
Yes,
and
correct.
I quote from your book, I only told my parents that I wanted to study in a place where people's thoughts, words and prayers harmonized with mine, a place where I could feel at home.
Yes.
And I understand this yearning soon led you to your destiny. The instrument that God chose for you to bring you to your real home was your sister Bharti Devi.
Yes, she had completed her MA and she applied for a job in different places and she got call from Sri Sathya Sai Women's College at Anantapur.
Mm-hmm.
So she came here and she liked this environment. Swami used to come very often those days. So when Swami came the next month, she asked Swami, Swami, can I bring my sister? Swami said, yes, yes, bring her. We'll all stay together. Andar kalisi undachu. During Dasara, she came. And she brought me here and enrolled me in this college.
And that was really very interesting because you came to the college and the following year your sister left to get married and move on.
Yes,
but you
yes.
stayed on for the rest of your life.
Exactly. I never looked back again. That's all. I stayed here.
And how was the experience of coming to the Sathya Sai College?
It was wonderful because I heard so many things about Swami and I was slowly absorbing little by little. Also observing Swami. Who is this person and why everybody is calling him God? So I was observing Swami and slowly I was beginning to like Swami and then started to love Swami.
Beautifully said. And do you recall your first interaction with Swami? What was it like?
Actually, a week after I joined the college, Swami came to our hostel. And I still remember we were sitting in the common room. I was sitting and singing bhajans and Swami came. And I don't know why I still remember that. We were singing Sai Mukunda Mukharavinda.
Mm-hmm.
Sai Mukunda Mukharavinda. We were singing that bhajan and Swami came. And said, continue, he said. So we all sang bhajans and over. I could not go anywhere near Swami because so many people surrounded him. Okay, that was all right. Next afternoon, Swami was having lunch with us. And I came slowly. I came a little late. That is, everybody was settled already. And I entered the dining hall. Then he said, Yavari Ammai, who is this girl? Then they said, Swami, she is Bharti's sister. She has come to study here. Swami was very happy. Oh, very good, very good. You know, she will study very well. And she will get always first class. And you people will waste your time. Usually, what do? You see movies. But she will study well. I am telling you, he said. And when he came to give namaskar, he patted me on my head and said, good, study well and you will pass.
What a blessing.
Really. That's the first time I had an interaction with Swami.
Uh-huh. You were telling me earlier on about how you found your interaction with him in the beginning a little overwhelming.
It was. It was really overwhelming.
In what sense?
I wanted to come very close to Swami.
Uh-huh.
And when I am sitting in the third row or something, I wished I wanted to go and sit in the first row. So next opportunity when it came, I sat in the first row. Swami's presence was overwhelming. I would look up at Swami and I felt some power coming from Swami and entering me. And it was overwhelming. I couldn't bear it. But I loved Swami very much. Why it happened, I guess I didn't understand that time. But slowly, after 2 or 3 years, I was able to bear it and I wanted to go very close. And when I went, I felt joy. I felt really very happy to be very close to Swami and touch his robe, touch his feet. Very nice it was. I did not feel that overwhelming feeling was not there.
So you always had darshan with the eyes of your heart.
Exactly.
Your inner vision.
Yes, yes.
What is the picture in your mind of Baba?
The picture is as people described, but because I hear everything else is the same, only I can't see Swami. I have touched Swami's hands. I have touched Swami's feet so many times. I feel, I know Swami as I know you, as I know everybody else.
I see.
Only a little more intensely because it is Swami, like that.
Have you ever had a chance to touch his hair?
Oh yes. I think it was 1980. Someone talked, of course before also they were talking, but the time came when someone talked about Swami's hair. Suddenly one strong desire came. I must touch Swami's hair. How will I do? How to do? How to do? How will Swami allow me to touch? No? And the intensity was growing. And I used to dream of Swami's hair. But in all my dreams, the Swami's hair was not Swami's hair. I wanted to feel Swami's hair so much that the mind was playing tricks with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami's hair was straight and Swami's hair was small. It was not Swami's hair at all.
In the dream?
In the dreams. Whenever I woke up, I knew, no, this is not Swami's hair.
Okay.
As people describe. So finally, after 3 years, I gave up hope. No, I can't touch Swami's hair. It's not possible. Let it be. That evening, Swami called all the teachers for interview. That is all the teachers, messengers.
Messengers of Satya Sai.
Yes.
The alumni group.
Alumni group. And the teachers were also there. Then I was also there. And then I was about to take namaskar. I stood up. Then the Swami suddenly started talking to me. What are you doing? You are teaching. What do you teach? Which class do you teach? And then something told me, just I had to lift my fingers and touch Swami's hair. So I just lifted my finger, only 2 fingers I put on Swami's hair. And Swami said, what? You want to feel my hair? Then I said, Swami, please Swami, let me do. All right, he said. I put both my hands on Swami's hair.
Oh, beautiful.
Really, it was soft and you know, it was standing on end like that.
Yeah, staticky.
I did not even imagine that it would be like that. I thought Swami's hair will be curly hair and very thick and curly, I thought.
Thick curls.
Yes, I thought like that.
I see. But this was like a halo around his hair.
Yeah, exactly. So like that, I came to know about Swami's hair.
I can't think of anybody else that Swami would have given that privilege to, except Mother Ishwaramba, who used to give him a hair wash.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, you're so blessed.
Wonderful experience, really.
I believe even when you joined the college, everybody had overlooked the fact that you'll need a scribe for your exam.
They
but
overlooked
Swami
the
didn't
fact.
Forget that.
I know. And you know what happened? Every time Swami came to the hostel, he used to come to me. I mean, he would pat my head and then say, Bangaru, take Pada Namaskar. I was used to that kind of treatment. For 2.5 years, that is, I came after Dasara in my intermediate. So 2.5 years I was used to that. In the second year, I mean 1.5, in the second year, Swami's treatment of me altered.
What happened?
He started ignoring me. First time, he ignored me. And only Swami knows how to convey the message. The message that I am ignoring you. He may even allow you to touch his feet, still make you feel that he's ignoring. I don't know how Swami can do that. One day I just touched Swami's feet, he just removed. Just went away a little. And I felt a cold feeling, you know. I said, Swami, what did I do? What happened? From then onwards, he was not talking to me for a whole year. I was very much upset. That was in the second year. And second year, we have language exams. 4 papers. 2 English papers, 2 Telugu papers we had to write. At the end of the academic year, that was in March maybe or April, then Swami came to our campus. I went and sat in the lawn along with the others in the last row. Swami came and then he said, where is that blind girl who is studying here? Is she here? Where is she? Then I stood up. I heard from a distance also. I stood up. Ah, kurcho kurcho, he said. Sit down, sit down. So I sat down. Then Swami was giving Pada Namaskar. He was walking between lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he came to me, he said, put his hand on my head and said, how are you studying? I said, okay, Swami, I'm studying. All right. Who is writing your exams for you? I don't know, Swami. I did not even know that things may go wrong. Mm-hmm. I thought that somebody
Nobody
will come
had
and write.
Remember to find your scribe.
Yes. And I didn't know that they would have forgotten. I thought on the right day, somebody will come and write for me. That's all. It's as if, you know, my hand is in Swami's hand. Nothing to worry. He will take me on. He will read
and
me on. That's
and
all.
He did.
He did really. Then the teachers who were escorting Swami realized, oh, we didn't engage one scribe. So hurriedly, it was just a few weeks before the exams.
Yeah.
They hurriedly arranged for a scribe. So I could write my English exam and Telugu exam also. One clerk was there.
And you scored such write. Good marks that despite the fact many of the scribes had very poor spelling, so you lost the marks because of the poor spelling of the scribe.
Yes, yes, that also happened.
But you still scored very well.
Yes, yes. Those days, getting a second class was something, you know, because in English also we had only essays, 20 marks essays, and then annotations. You can't score much. Getting 12 marks or 13 marks is very difficult. So like that, I got second class, but I was satisfied. That was more than I could expect those days.
So after you finished your bachelor's degree,
yes,
you had serious apprehensions about going any further.
Yes, I had. Someone told my grandmother, Ammamma, why don't you take her to Parthi and ask Swami what to do? Then I also felt, okay, I should study more. So both of us went to Puttaparthi and waited for 2 days. And the third day evening, Swami came. He just spoke to us that day. Then my grandfather told Swami she had just finished her degree. She did her BA. Now what should she do? She should do MA then. They said, Swami, but in your college, you don't have MA now. MA English is not there.
Not at that time.
No. That is true, but there is PG center. That is now SK University. Those days it was PG center. So put her in PG center. Then what about hostel, Swami? Hostel, immediately he responded, you know, she should stay in my hostel only.
Oh, how nice.
Really. Amma, inkekkada undadam naaku ishtam ledu. I don't want the child to stay anywhere else. She should be in my hostel. It is more congenial for her. So we were very happy and we were about to go the next morning. Then knowing my grandmother's thoughts, he said, you are thinking of going tomorrow morning. Don't go. I will call you for an interview. Then my grandmother innocently, she said, Swami, please call us soon, Swami, because I have reserved my ticket in the evening. So I had to go. Then he said, okay, don't worry. He was very compassionate, you know, he'll come down to our level.
Yeah. So he said, adjust according to your travel plans.
Yes, yes. So the next morning, 8 o'clock, Swami came and he waved us in. So we went inside and Swami was so compassionate, and the way he was talking was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That is personal interview, only my grandmother and myself and Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Like that it was, you know, just three of us, and Swami speaking with such power in his voice. I know all about you. I know all that's happening in your family. Don't worry, everything will be all right. He told my grandmother. I know sometimes relatives are not so kind. Everything he told, and then he told, don't worry about the child.
Mm-hmm.
She's very safe with me, and Anugraha is there. My grace is on her. Her future will take shape on its own. I will guide her. He told her, and again he told about the MA. Suddenly he held my hand. He said, happy Gaundu, be happy, study well. Then I said, Swami, it seems there is so much of portion in MA. And I had to read so many books.
Big syllabus.
Big syllabus. How will I cope with it, Swami? I don't know whether I can do it. And Swami said, yes, you can. Nenu chadivistanu. I will make you study, he said.
Hmm.
So that is how I came. But the coming year, I could not join because I fell ill at the time of admission.
I see. So
and
you took
the whole year off. The next year, I came. Then again, I joined that time in PG Center and joined the hospital.
I guess his assurance must have given you a real boost in confidence.
Yes, yes, it did. Actually, I went through an ordeal at that time because someone put a seed of fear in me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, can you study? The portion is so much. How can you study? How will you cope with it?
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, I can do it because Swami told me I can do it. And also, the girls are there. There are 300 and odd girls in the hostel. They can read to me. And they said, no. 75% of the girls don't know English.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot read to you. I said, however slowly, however haltingly they read, I still can cope with it. I can manage. I will listen carefully and I will take down the notes.
Because the textbooks for the master's program were not available in Braille, obviously, so somebody had to read it out to you.
Yes, yes, it was like that. They were not available.
Yeah, so you had to depend on a helper.
Yes. And there are some big books and novels and so many books are there.
Oh, for sure. Master's programs are very rigorous.
And I had to read all of them and then assess and make my own notes. So my classmates used to get books and I used to sit and do reference on my own.
I see.
Anyway, they said, how will you manage? I said, I can do, because I will tune my ears to their accent. Somehow I will manage. Are you sure? I said, oh, maybe not. No, I'm not sure. Pa, really, you know, it was very difficult for me. I went into depression, like, I don't know. I can't say it was depression, because I was not really depressed. A struggle was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, Amma, shall we go back? I'll come with you home. I don't want to study anymore. Maybe I really can't. Then we were staying with a friend in Anantapur. My grandmother said, no, no, we'll ask one more lady is there, no, that one, we'll ask her. Then we asked another lady. She said the same thing. Then I started...
Just discouraged you. Okay.
Discouraged me completely. Maybe it is difficult for her. I don't know how she will be able to do. I was fully discouraged. All I wanted was one word of encouragement. And that exactly was not forthcoming. So it was really difficult. Helplessly, I started crying for a whole week. I cried. My grandmother didn't know. And whenever I thought of going back, Swami's words used to ring in my ears. Nenu chadivistanu.
I'll make you study.
Yes. I can't turn back, because that was actually to drain all the strength out of me. I can't go back. I can't go forward. So what do? I had to stand where I am and struggle and find out a way forward. Then what happened? That a friend of ours, whose house we were in, he said he knew Dr. Dakshinamurthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Dakshinamurthy worked for some time in our college as a special officer. He was staying just a few furlongs away. He said maybe he'll be able to say something. I thought, what can he say? So many people say the same thing. He also would say the same thing. Anyway, they are all saying, no, okay, let me go. I mechanically walked with them. They just held my hand. Like a doll I walked, you know, like that doll who is wound up, like that. Mm-hmm. I went. I sat there and my grandmother told everything. That, sir, he said, don't hesitate at all. Just go and join the hostel child. If Swami says, it has to happen. Swami told you that he will make you study, then why do you doubt? Why do you allow anyone to discourage you? They say it is your responsibility. Then you say that it is your responsibility, you will take the responsibility and you will join.
Oh, God,
everybody will help you.
What a wise person.
Yes, really. Noru manchidaithe ooru manchidavutundi. That is, if you speak kindly, if you behave properly, everybody will help you. Why will they not help you? Go and join, he said.
Good advice.
Ah, really, I felt very strong. You know, I thought I can lift a mountain now. So I went and joined and then continued my studies.
One power of positive words.
Yes.
Isn't it?
It does wonders.
It does, it does. And then you joined in 76 to start your master's program in English literature?
Yes.
At the nearby Sri Krishnadevaraya University or SK University?
Right.
At that time it was known as PG Center.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that our warden at that time,
yes,
Dr. Mrs. Jayalakshmi Gopinath, she was very considerate. She allowed you.
Sai Ram. You just heard an episode of our weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, where we bring you conversations with former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. Today, we brought you part one of a conversation with Ms. Rama Devi of the Anantapur campus of Sai University. Don't miss part two of this conversation, in which Ms. Rama Devi narrates many of her most cherished moments with Bhagwan Baba. This will be aired same day, same time next week. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. We look forward to your feedback. As always, you can mail us at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Sai, and please continue to stay with us. Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam.